Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Too few Americans truly recognize the grave danger we as a nation and a people are in today. Oh, many of us realize things are just not right in our lives, that there's something very wrong out there. But for so many people, that's about all they can understand. And most expect that life as we have known it will more or less continue on as it has all of us since we were children. This idea that substantial and very damaging change in our lives is not going to happen is extremely dangerous. If we can't wake up more of the citizenry to the perils we are facing in time, then our nation, our culture, our precious freedoms and rights, so many take for granted, will surely disappear before our eyes in the coming years. I'm talking about the raging Marxist revolution we are in today. How has this come about? The fraudulent election coups of recent years, of course. The avalanche of evidence of voter and election fraud indicates this process, our conversion from a constitutional republic to a communist police state, has been going on for at least two decades, but possibly even longer. The political left, greatly more powerful these days due to its alliance with the Chinese Communist Party and its money and influence over so many in our society. They know that they can't win enough elections to control the country unless they steal the elections. The only way this madness could be happening is with continued fraudulent interference in our elections, the essential component of any truly free and democratic society. In many ways, our constitutional republic is, or should I say has been, the high watermark, the ultimate expression of the ideals of freedom and democracy in Western civilization born thousands of years ago in ancient Greece. Now we are in very real danger of losing it all due to the illegal acts of an as yet largely unidentified group of foreign and domestic bad actors and conspirators, I say. And what's so frightening is that these bad actors, I have no doubt, are vigorously supported and protected by a larger but still distinct minority of our population. These are individuals in positions of authority and influence in our government, cultural, and other societal institutions. Some are brainwashed and motivated by communist or other leftist ideology. Some are motivated by obsessive greed to make money with sweetheart investments in China, compliments of their cronies and masters in the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, and these people are eager to sell out the USA. And some are just plain stupid and or cowards who have been compromised via blackmail, bribes, various pressure groups or whatnot into going along with it all. As you will hear in the course of today's program, there is strong evidence that the highest levels of our government and other societal institutions are compromised and supporting, if not actively taking part in, this appalling corruption. And what is this corruption? Well, to provide just a few examples, the sham January 6th Congressional Committee members hell-bent to portray as traitors and insurrectionists, the few Trump supporters who, evidence strongly suggests again, were accompanied by disguised Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists. These are communist, Marxist communists. And these Trump supporters were duped into engaging with them, with these activists, in the mini riot at the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Then there's the outrageously hypocritical Democrats and phony Republicans who bitterly and continually, yet with no credible evidence whatsoever, contended every day of Donald Trump's presidency that he stole the 2016 election with Russia collusion. There were all the official investigations of this that came up with nothing. Yet our governments in Washington, our government in Washington, at least, the federal government, refuses to do anything, investigate any of these other, in the 2020 election. The claims of 2020 election voter and election fraud, I should say. These people who claim that Trump stole election now declare the 2020 election deniers and questioners are somehow committing insurrection and treason, and who are using the corrupted leadership of the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI, possibly as well as their other intelligence services, to spy on, persecute, and prosecute the 2020 election deniers and questioners. This with our President Joe Biden seemingly garnering over 80 million votes in 2020 in the most free and fair election in history. Really? Biden was unable to launch the deep state's Marxist revolution in America. And Biden boasted the other day that he can beat Trump again in 2024. Let's start off today's audio segments with a couple of minutes from commentator Joe Altman's Conservative Daily podcast, October 10. These comments were made in reference to the revelations in recent days that the CEO and founder of voting operations management technology company, Connect, an immigrant from communist China named Eugene Yu, has been arrested and charged with storing U.S. election worker data from all over the USA on a server or servers in communist China. Now, what do you think is being done with that data? Play sound by one, please.
We're done with them telling us that there's no election fraud. We're done with them telling us that we're not entitled to a transparent election system. We're done with mail-in ballots. We're done with their mail-in ballot boxes that are not even protected at all, have no ability to be protected. We're done with mules. We're done with the Democrat Party. We're done with this radical leftist garbage that we have to deal with on a regular basis. So Ash went, and I got to get back to this, and there's so much stuff that I want to cover across the country related to this. Because Koenig put up an entire part of their website dedicated to misinformation and disinformation about their company within weeks of their CEO being arrested, and he was tipped off. They arrested him on the way to the airport. He left his phone behind, packed his luggage, and was out of there. Where do you think he was going? You think they're going to tell us? No. And who in LA tipped him off? Gavin Newsom? I mean, I want to know. I want to know. Don't you want to know? We're dealing with the highest inflation ever in the history of the country since, I think, 1926. And somewhere along the line, we're not entitled to answers when stolen elections have consequences. And we've been dealing with these consequences, not just in one state, but in every state for decades. And it's getting worse. Crime is at an all-time high. People are dying of a manufactured virus that they paid to bring into this country to kill our grandmothers, to kill our mothers, to kill our fathers, to kill our husbands and wives. They manufactured that virus so they could create chaos and steal elections. Then they got Bernie Sanders stand up on a stage and tell us what they were going to do. Telegraph it. And we're not supposed to be pissed off.
As you may know, it was Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon who was responsible for these charges being brought against Eugene Yu. It was longtime CCP-loving and promoting leftist billionaire George Soros who spent lots of money helping install his puppet George Gascon in office. After announcing the arrest of Eugene Yu, Gascon was quick to follow up with nothing to see here type comments to the effect that the alleged illegality of storing American election worker personal data on a server or servers in Wuhan, China, in no way affects our election's integrity. But as more information comes out about this matter, the implications are far more sinister and disturbing than our CCP-loving establishment would have you believe. Here's more on the subject from Emeril Robinson's The Absolute Truth TV show, October 10, with an interview with election integrity warrior Patrick Byrne, founder and former CEO of Overstock.com. Please play soundbite two.
Police arrested Eugene Yu, the CEO of a CCP Connected software company that tracks the behavior of U.S. election workers on suspicion of stealing personal information and illegally storing it on Chinese computer servers. Yu was required to keep his company's data in the United States, but instead, he stored it on servers in China. According to a new bombshell op-ed piece by Tory Morris, a prominent blogger who is running to be Ohio's Secretary of State, the DOD handed over the voter data from Montana, Nevada, and New Jersey to Eugene Yu, and it paid him a total of over $240,000 U.S. taxpayer dollars. Now, Ms. Morris alleges that Yu's company Connick and several D.C. insiders like the Clintons pulled off the biggest data heist in the world in history in 2020. The private underwater cables that transferred election data from states like Alaska were bifurcated and routed to Taiwan almost a year before the elections by private big tech companies without any government oversight. Now, this Forbes headline kind of says it all. With all these serious allegations coming to the surface a month before midterms, the FBI, you know, is trying to calm people's fears about election integrity. The FBI and CISA saying that they have zero reporting that suggests cyber activity has ever prevented a registered voter from casting a ballot, compromised the integrity of any ballots cast, or affected the accuracy of voter registration information. And even though the FBI and CISA acknowledge that there are attacks on voting systems, it downplayed those by saying, quote, these attempts would not prevent voting or the accurate reporting of results. They even had the nerve to say that the biggest threat to election integrity is social media disinformation, of which they are well-versed. Let's add that in. Let's welcome in Patrick Burns, the former CEO of Overstock, who has met with President Trump in the Oval Office to discuss election integrity issues. And Patrick, you know, you were one of those people ahead of 2020 saying, look, something is going to go down. There's a problem here. And then lo and behold, you were right. So what is this whole, this is the first I've ever heard of Connick. Tell us what this is and how it's problematic.
Yeah, and by the way, the FBI is lying about that. They have a mountain of evidence. They know for certain that there is. Just ask them in Williamson, Tennessee, if they want an explanation. Because anyway, Connick is a Chinese immigrant founded firm in the U.S. and it makes not the software that the election is run on, but it makes the software for if you run a polling precinct or a county election. You know, you're going to have to manage a bunch of equipment. You need to manage a bunch of workers, a bunch of volunteers. You need to schedule them, have their addresses and contact and all that kind of information. Also, which machine is stored where. And so Connick creates that information for people who want to manage, creates that software for people who are managing an election. And that is a Chinese immigrant who turned out to be keeping. And because that was his software, he got the personal details of 1.8 million U.S. election workers, everybody who volunteers or works in elections around the country, and it all ended up on a server in Wuhan, China. Greg and Catherine from True the Vote found it a year and a half ago, found it at the back door, kind of spilling out of the back door of a server in China, in Wuhan, China. They brought it to the FBI. And after stewing on it for a year, the FBI started to threaten to go after them for stealing the data that the Chinese guy had stolen. So now we're at the point where a Soros prosecutor has stepped up and arrested. Well, the CEO has been arrested, which at first blush, that's a good thing, you think, right, Emerald? Didn't you think that was a good thing when you heard he was? But then we found out who arrested him.
I know, and Gascon had questions, so I'm anxious to hear what you say about this.
Well, Gascon is the L.A. district attorney that Soros goon. He's one of the Soros goons that's been made district attorney and who doesn't think you need to prosecute anyone, and what the people pass as laws doesn't really count because he knows better and things like that. So he's a Soros goon. He's the guy who arrested Eugene Yu or indicted him. And he indicted him on very narrow charges, nothing about anything involved with manipulating an election, but just with a very narrow and probably easily defeatable set of charges regarding stealing the voter ID. The contract said it was supposed to stay domestic. It didn't. So it's a civil violation of his contract. Maybe a county can sue him for some money back kind of thing. I don't know if these charges are going to be able to make stick. But most importantly, he didn't bring charges on the real problem, which is the guy that China, the CCP would have been able to had the information to begin to compromise 1.8 million people. The first step of compromising people is getting all that kind of information about who they are and what they do, and you can start tracking them online and such. So my guess is this is a bit of ruse by the Soros goon in Los Angeles, because by him bringing a case, it either keeps anyone else from bringing a case, or if they do, they kind of have to work through him, the LA district attorney. So it really lets the Soros guy keep a hand on the scandal. So it's good and bad.
So when you say that China wanted this information, they can compromise these election workers. They start by getting their information. In what way can they, I mean, how is this beneficial to China? What way can they compromise these election workers?
Oh, well, the first step, this is the golden ticket. Believe me, this is the first thing China would want. Is the names and addresses and of everybody and personal information about everybody who works in the U.S. election system. I'm sure you can be sure that all those 1.8 million people have been carefully studied by China, carefully screened, and whether they get compromised. You only have to find a few. Remember this myth of widespread voter fraud. It's such a straw man. They don't need widespread. They don't need 1.8 million. They don't need 180,000. They don't need 1,800. They need 180 people, but the right 180 people out of those 1.8 million to be compromised. And they can compromise them. They can track them online. They can see what they're doing. They can do all kinds of things to begin the process of compromising, which can be bribing people or discovering that they may be sympathetic. Or it may be blackmailing them. There's all different ways to compromise somebody, but that would be the first step, is having that information. So that's the golden ticket. In any normal time, there would be a national security freak out that the Chinese got 1.8 million election workers. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible vulnerability.
So let me ask you, why did the DOD, why was it the Pentagon that gave this company $240,000? I can imagine, it seems more reasonable to me that it would be come from the Department of Homeland Security, right, where they have CISA and where you kind of have an elections unit. But why the Department of Defense?
That is interesting. And voter data, what's funny, the DOD gave not the data on election workers to connect, but gave the data on voters to connect, if I'm understanding it correctly. Well, you do need to know, if you're going to hack an election, you need to know the voter rolls. That's why we've learned that before they stuff the ballot box, they first need to stuff the voter roll. Why would the DOD possibly be helping a Chinese company do that? I believe the upper echelons of our government in Washington, D.C. are compromised. If that's not obvious as the it can be. There are upper echelons of our government in Washington, D.C. are compromised by the Chinese.
And real quick, we got 30 seconds. Is the FBI still looking into this at all? We know they looked at Catherine and Greg, but is there supposedly still an investigation going on at FBI headquarters into Kinnack?
I doubt it. And I can tell you the FBI is totally broken. And I'll announce something. I brought a great deal of material about corruption to the FBI over the last year working with a team of people who themselves got stuck and got shut down. And they said, pardon me, they said, the heck with this. And they walked in as whistleblowers. The whistleblowers going into Congress, a number of them are people I've been known and bringing material to. And they tried to get shut down. The higher ups tried to shut them down with material I had brought, four large loads of material. And I know that in the case of at least several of them, those are the people who said, the heck with this, and they walked across the street to Congress with the material I brought of massive corruption within the upper reaches of the federal government. And that's why they've become whistleblowers.
Patrick Burns, it is always fascinating to talk to you. So glad to have you back today. Please come back soon because there's so much more we're going to need to go into on this as it develops over the coming weeks. Thank you, Mr. Burns. Good to see you.
Thank you, Emerald. Always great to be on. Thank you very much.
As I mentioned, the corruption in our government includes many rhinos, you know, Republicans in name only, in the Republican establishment, or I should say, and the Republican establishment, yes, rhinos in the Republican establishment, which appears to hate Trump almost as much as the Democrats, as I call them, and tends to be obstructive and unsupportive of efforts to investigate evidence of fraud in our elections, particularly in 2020 when Trump was removed from office. Here's some more perspective on these corrupt and unsupportive Republican establishment types and their roles in blocking calls to investigate fraud in our elections and push back against so-called deep state, which many rhinos are part of. This is also from Emerald Robinson's The Absolute Truth TV show, also on October 10th, and involves her interview with investigative journalist Laura Logan, who is reviled by the establishment media, which, as you know, is largely just a mouthpiece, propaganda organ, bootlick for the establishment, and particularly establishment left. Play soundbite three, please.
The sham J6 committee will hold its final hearing before midterms this Thursday, and while most see it as a tactic to hurt Republicans in this general election, there are some Republicans who are culpable in the J6 narrative. And we're not just talking about Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Here to explain is investigative and now independent journalist Lara Logan, who we always love having in the show. And I have to say, Lara, every time you're on, it's just this overwhelming response. People just are blown away by the insight you share. So thank you for being here again.
Well, thank you so much, Emerald. I love being on your show. You're a brave journalist. You really are. I respect you so much.
Well, coming from you, it means the world to me. I do want to touch on something that you said when you were last on the show. We were talking, you know, about the J6 defendants and some of the situations surrounding J6. And you said, we were talking about the MAGAinfo.tv, the J6 tweets that they had, you know, found that have been deleted on the Wayback Machine. And you said there were lots of Republicans involved and we know their names. So I was hoping that you could expound on that for our audience this week.
Well, okay. So as a journalist, one of the things that I always try to do when I'm trying to figure out what's true, what's not true, what really happened, is I always look at motive, right? Because motive doesn't lie to us, right? And motive tells us a lot. That's why anonymous sources, you know, when everything is based purely on anonymous sources, it can be very debilitating for the audience because they lack the ability to evaluate motive if they don't know where this information is coming from. So when you look at January 6th, what is left out of the narrative is very telling. And what we see left out of the narrative, right, is any discussion of the group of Republican senators and others and congressmen who wanted an audit commission to be formed to discuss the allegations of fraud and to investigate the 2020 election. And in fact, what happens as a result of the protests and the response to the protests and the violence that happens is that it shuts down any form of debate over the whole issue of fraud. So it never even comes before the Republican legislators. And you know, what's extremely telling for me is that I know January 6th was not an insurrection. I know it because there is nothing about January 6th that actually resembles a real insurrection. It is a joke to even call it an insurrection. That's before you look at all the, you know, the involvement of undercover FBI agents and the role that agitators like Antifa played that day, the cover-up of 14,000 plus hours of footage that has never been released, the involvement of people like Ray Epps and others who the FBI refused to explain, and so on and so on and so on, right? The list is endless. And never mind the fact that people, you know, weren't armed, didn't take guns into the Capitol and so on and so on. No guns were discharged that day and et cetera, right? And then you have all the people behind bars without trial. So what you have, you know, over time is you look at this and you think, okay, so who are the real beneficiaries of what happened on January 6th? Who had real motive? Well, when you've got Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders talking about an insurrection, when you know that it wasn't an insurrection, and you know that they're not stupid, right? They have access to a lot more information than I have access to. So why is Mitch McConnell furthering the narrative of his supposed political enemies? That's where the questions really begin, because it's very obvious at this point, right, that the Republicans are not interested in doing anything about the injustices that have followed since January 6th. Mitch McConnell is not going to the prison. He is not talking, and he's not using his platform and his audience and his power and his position and his role in the GOP and on the Republican side to do anything about the fact that American citizens are in prison without trial, that you have political prisoners. By the way, 72% of those detained are veterans, military veterans, and law enforcement, right? But apparently the GOP doesn't care, right? They're not doing anything about it. And in fact, when you talk, as I have, to Republicans who are running, like Christina Caramo, running for Secretary of State in Michigan, and Rachel Ham, who was a candidate. She didn't win the primary. There were some questions there over that election in California. But, you know, you talk to many, many, many of these people, from the candidates all the way to the grassroots, and they will tell you that the GOP is making life torture for them, that the Republican establishment doesn't want anyone talking about the 2020 election. They don't want them talking about fraud. They don't want to investigate fraud. They don't want to go near it, right? And then you have these candidates who they call America First candidates. They don't want them supported by Republican donors. They make life difficult for them. They won't campaign for them. There's even been, you know, I've been privy to some conversations in states like, for example, Nevada, where they would literally rather support the Democrat candidates than their own nominees, right? Than the GOP's own nominees. There's something very, very wrong with that picture. And it all comes back to the 2020 election and January 6th and the audits and the conversation, at least the debate, over fraud in the 2020 election. It's no secret at this point that Mitch McConnell is done with Donald Trump, right? The Liz Cheneys and the Mitch McConnells and the establishment of the party, they're done with it. What happened to senators like Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson? They weren't the only ones. Do you remember when they said they were going to vote? They were going to send it back, right? Send the Electoral College votes back. They were going to vote against it. That people were asking for this to go back to the states and let's just have an honest accounting, right? Let's figure this out. There were state legislators in states where there were big question marks over the election results, like Arizona, who said, wait a minute, like, we regret our certification. We have questions now. We have information we didn't have at the time. And so what happens to all of that? On January 6th, it goes gone, just vanishes. It's done. It never happens. They are never called to account. The GOP and Republican establishment are never called to account in front of the American people. Nothing is sent back to the states. And instead, what happens when DC is under lockdown? What happens? They go in there and they just rubber stamp the most fraudulent election in the history of this country. And nobody says a word. In fact, Mitch McConnell comes out calling Americans of his own party, right? He calls them insurrectionists. Didn't Ted Cruz refer to them as terrorists? I think he had to walk that back pretty fast, right? But that's a long way from sending the Electoral College votes, right? And sending the election back, right? Look how Ted Cruz's position changed on that. So, you know, this is what leads to some very serious questions over what exactly was the establishment of the Republican Party's role in January 6th, not just in ignoring all the requests for the National Guard, right? Ignoring Trump's own statements about that, because Trump requested reinforcements. He said there's going to be a lot of people. They never come out in support of the Americans who went to the Capitol that day. Americans have had their bank accounts closed. You don't hear Republicans generally talking about it. And what do you hear from Republican candidates, you know, as an incumbent, right? You hear the party doesn't want us to go there. Look at the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetzes and the Louis Gohmerts. Louis Gohmert, I mean, for goodness sake, these people are the few people on the Republican side who will have anything to do with January 6th. Why not? Why not? It's got nothing to do with insurrection, okay? It's got nothing to do with the violence, because when you look at the videos, and, you know, this is a big, big story, and this is a big task, and real journalism is hard, Emerald. You know that, right? I mean, getting to the bottom of these things is really, really hard. And you know who's not helping? The establishment of the GOP. They're not helping anybody get to the bottom of this. There's so many things that they could have done, and they haven't done it. And that is a huge indicator.
Before we go further, let's be clear about what we mean when we speak of deep state. Retired Colonel John Mills, former director, cybersecurity policy, strategy, and international affairs, Office of the U.S. Secretary of Defense, and author of the new book, The Nation Will Follow, A Record of Firsthand Experiences Fighting the Deep State, discusses the deep state in detail and what we can do to fight it. Mills has said he believes the U.S. Department of Homeland Security isn't looking in the right places, I say on purpose, in order to detect and defend against cyber attacks on election electronic voting equipment. You may be aware that the Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has identified 9 major, what they call, vulnerabilities on these electronic voting equipment, all of it. Patrick Byrne has declared that he's looked into reports and he says they're not so much vulnerabilities as they are failures, which there are no known fixes for. But of course, the CISA has said they haven't found anybody using or exploiting those failures. But of course, as lawyer, election fraud lawyer, Kurt Olson has said, they're not even looking. They don't want to look. If I understand him correctly, election integrity leader Mike Lindell, whose website, frankspeech.com, on which Emerald Robinson broadcasts her show, frankspeech.com lays out Lindell's case for voter and election fraud. And Lindell contends that something like 15 million votes in 2020 were flipped from Donald Trump to Joe Biden through cyber attacks all across this country, more than 90% of which were conducted from communist China. Mills says the deep state is made up of bureaucrats, technocrats, and plutocrats. In other words, people with a lot of money. And we're talking about people particularly in positions of power and influence in our government, bureaucracy, in our big tech organizations such as Twitter, Facebook, and the rest, and those among our super rich, which I believe it's safe to conclude includes longtime China lovers like George Soros, Bill Gates, and Wall Street elites like Larry Fink. These are people who have promoted communist China as a world government model and seen it as a cash cow, though Soros has in recent years seemingly had a change of heart about current CCP leader Xi Jinping. Xi, it has been widely speculated, is likely to be granted an unprecedented third term of office at the 20th so-called People's Congress of the CCP elites, who are in fact meeting today to decide this. Speaking of corruption, as you probably know, Biden administration U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has declared that the Department of Justice's ongoing campaign against President Trump is due to the fact that no one is above the law. And at the same time, leaked information to, I believe, the Washington Post, their mainstream mouthpiece, revealed that federal officials may finally, after so many years, be about to formally charge Joe Biden's notorious son, Hunter, with possibly two or more minor crimes, which appears to be yet another attempt to cover up the massive evidence of Biden family corruption, and particularly that of Hunter, thus shielding the establishment's lackey-in-chief from as much political and or legal trouble as possible. Here's conservative commentator Mark Levin's take on all this for Sean Hannity on Hannity's Fox TV show, October 6. Play soundbite 4, please.
On all of this, and of course, 33 days away from Election Day, we call him the great one, Mark Levin, Life, Liberty, Levin, the number one show, Fox News on weekends, his nationally syndicated radio show, and dear friend of mine, great one. How am I? Thank me. God bless us.
Well, you sound pretty good. I'll tell you, I'll give you my take on this Washington Post piece. The question is, why would they put it out now? I think Pam has a very good theory. I have a different theory. And my theory is, this is old news. They could have indicted Hunter a long time ago. They're protecting Joe, of course, because they're not getting into any of the Bob Alinsky laptop information, which is ripe for the taking. Joe Biden is a Manchurian putative president. In my view, he's bought and paid for, not just by the communist regime, but others. That said, I'll tell you what I think is going on here. This leak is numerous sources. For some reason, they mentioned Donald Trump twice, who has absolutely nothing to do with this matter. I think what they're trying to do is lay a predicate, lay a foundation, not a legal predicate, but a foundation for the American people, and particularly conservatives that go on, well, why don't they indict him? Why don't they indict Hunter? It's black and white. They've got the goods on him. So then we can have people say, okay, fine. And then we have Merrick Garland say, you see, I believe in equality under the law. So we did XYZ to Hunter Biden, and now we're doing XYZ to Donald Trump. I think this is a complete setup. I think Hunter Biden is small potatoes. I think they're protecting Joe Biden, who obviously is more important. He's the president of the United States, and they have absolutely no interest in him. And by the way, neither do the media. They keep writing books about Donald Trump, like Maggie Haberman and others. Who cares? What about Joe Biden and all of his ties? But I want to talk about that too, and I want the public to understand that the United States isn't guaranteed to exist as the United States in perpetuity. Countries are subject to demise. Athens didn't exist, you know. It fell. Rome fell. The British Empire exists no longer. We are a country that is falling. We are a country that is facing demise as the number one superpower on the face of the earth. It's not because we voted for this. It's not because we want it. It's because this is what the Democrat Party wants and is doing. This is a man-made grave assault on our liberty, on our prosperity, and our number one status as a superpower. Step by step by step in every respect. Look at education. Used to be first, there were no equals. Now education is failing horribly. The border is wide open. That is an affirmative decision by this administration. Massive government redistribution of wealth from the private sector to the phony masterminds in Washington. That's an obvious decision by the Democrat Party. The destruction of energy independence. This is an obvious decision by the Democrat Party. Soft on crime, big on criminals. Obvious decision by the Democrat Party. Everything that's going on in this country isn't by mistake. It isn't because of Mother Nature. It is because of the Democrats. The Democrats hate this country. They don't believe in this country. They're embracing more and more aggressive aspects of Marxism. They oppose an independent judiciary. They threaten justices. They want to pack the court for the second time in 100 years. They want to get rid of the filibuster because they want to ram through their agenda, even if they only have 50 Democrat senators. You go on and on and on how they want to destroy our voting system. Now they want non-citizens to have the right to vote in various cities. The country's coming apart. The country is coming apart at the seams. Our customs, our traditions are under attack. Our history is under attack. And there's one political party that serves as the political force for all these radical and extreme ideas. And it's the same political party 100 years ago that stood for segregation. It's the same political party 100 years ago that refused to support anti-lynching bills. I'm telling it like it is. It's the same political party 100 years ago that supported eugenics. It's the same political party that demands abortion on demand, that rejects morality and ethics, that is teaching our little kids all kinds of grotesque behavior, that is teaching our little kids how to be racists and victims, that is teaching our little kids to hate the country, to hate capitalism. Not just our little kids, but our older kids in colleges and universities where there is no academic freedom. There is no free speech. We have segregated areas now. We have no Jew areas now. This country is out of control. Now, if you want it to continue to fall, you vote for the Democrats. I don't love all the Republicans. As a matter of fact, I'm not a special pleader for the Republican Party. But this time around, that's all we've got. We have got to fight this. This movement, this Democrat Party, it's not about some policy changes, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to read to you what Ronald Reagan said. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Ronald Reagan thought Joe Biden was a moron, and he didn't like him. And he didn't like the way he treated people in a very nasty way when he was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Joe Biden is a figurehead for radicals that have been appointed throughout this administration, Obama types and all the rest. We're losing our country. We have to start clawing it back in November. That's it.
33 days, the great one, Mark Levin. Life, Liberty, Levin, Sunday nights, 8 p.m. right here on Fox. Thank you, sir.
I would add to Levin's comments that the Democrats, as we have observed, are being aided in their efforts to utterly destroy America by rhinos. Let's not forget that. Well, I will say that Mitch McConnell has done his part to protect the country in terms of at least voting and leading the movement to exonerate Donald Trump from these absurd impeachment charges. But let's not forget that his wife is Elaine Chao, whose father is a big shot in communist China, as I understand it, and owns is involved in the shipping industry there. And the Elaine Chao and Mitch McConnell have a shipping business, which has all the ships are made from in China. It's cruiser Chinese from China. So it is a legitimate business, as I understand. But yes, I would say he's compromised. But anyway, it looks like we're about to see more, yet more of the status quo from our badly corrupt and compromised Department of Justice, which uses its politically weaponized FBI to go after voter and election fraud questioners and President Trump while using all its resources to protect Joe Biden and family, all its other resources, I should say. And as I said earlier, Joe Biden just recently predicted he could beat Donald Trump again in another election contest in 2024. He said that grinning. He appeared to be almost laughing about it to me. This was the same overconfident attitude that the bragging Biden exhibited during his very limited campaigning during the run-up to the 2020 election. Did he then, and does he now, know something the rest of us don't? I wouldn't be surprised. Will good old puppet-in-chief Joe and his deep state and CCP handlers pull off yet more stunning victories for the communist left next month in the 2024? What difference does it make if polls, assuming at least some of these polls are accurate and not rigged like our elections, indicate the true will of the voters? If the monsters rigging our elections can continue with it, their people will continue in power. If so, we can kiss this republic. at least this republic as we have known it, goodbye. That's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted in the next few days on the Jim Benson Show page at bbsradio.com. Look for us again 2 weeks from today, just before the midterm elections, in this same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.